Thank you very much for waiting. Now we would like to start the Toshiba Next Plan presentation. The presentation will be given by our Chairman and CEO, Mr. Nobuaki Kurumatani. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nobuaki Kurumatani. I would like to express my sincere appreciation for attending today's presentation of Toshiba Next Plan. Let me start with today's agenda. First, I would like to explain Toshiba's vision that we are trying to achieve from the viewpoint of the present, past, and the future. Agenda 2, 3, and 4 covers numerical targets in specific plans and in which business areas we are trying to achieve those targets. Also, our policy on shareholders' returns will be covered. In Agenda 5 and 6, it's about medium and long-term growth strategies and Toshiba's digital transformation, which is the core of the strategy. Finally, the execution structure for those plans. It will take a little less than an hour. It's pretty long, and I hope you will bear with me. First, the vision that Toshiba is aiming at. Each company has its own DNA. Recently, people often say 30 years is the average lifespan of a company, but Toshiba has existed for 143 years by continuously developing itself and have been contributing to the society. Since I joined Toshiba in April, I've visited almost all the regional offices and factories, and I have had discussions with several thousand employees. All along, I have been asking myself, what is the source of strength of Toshiba? What is Toshiba's DNA? Through that process, I've come to recognize that Toshiba is not a mimic. It is not acquiring other people's technology by M&A, but it is a technology company based on its own innovative R&D and has a so-called entrepreneurial venture-type business model. That's what I've come to realize. Looking back, it started with two founders, Mr. Hisashige Tanaka, who had nickname Karakuri Gyemon, and Japan's Edison, Mr. Ichisuke Fujioka. Those founders have started that DNA, and it's deep-rooted in the history of Toshiba. And by making full use of this innovative venture spirit, we want to revive the spirit and DNA of Toshiba through innovative R&D power and tackle various global social problems and challenges and contribute to the society. Now, turning our attention to social problems, there are serious challenges that are ahead of us. Industrial models will be facing an era of major change. In the past two or three decades, emergence of cyber technology, especially internet, which emerged at the beginning of the 1990s, has led to a major new value creation. However, after the year 2000, there was no major technological breakthrough following internet, and the new era was characterized by GAFA business model, which contained customers and data in an overwhelming manner. Ever since the Industrial Revolution, capitalism has evolved, driven by innovative technology. However, the last decade was a period in which the world economy was sustained by easy, accommodative monetary policy. Looking towards the next two decades, with the innovative technological development of both cyber and physical areas, the world will face a major revolutionary change in the society, and technology will drive the social system and capitalism to evolve into the next stage. So cyber and physical were separated in the past. However, I believe that in the new era, in the new industrial model, cyber technology and physical technology will have a fusion, an explosive fusion. So we will be working in a battlefield where the cyber and physical technology have fusion. So we will strengthen our technology development ability. And in the cyber-physical environment, we will strive to become one of the top technology company in the world. Sustainability and building future is the key word. Now, in the first 3 years of Toshiba Next Plans, we will establish financial standing, which is strong enough to secure top-level profitability in the industry. And at the same time, develop new promising growth businesses. And in addition, in achieving our goal, we will implement cyber technology in all areas of Toshiba, including our products, services, and internal processes. I want to achieve this objective of becoming a CPS technology company. Now, this process will help us lead to another process in which Toshiba will help solve various probable social problems in the future. That in turn will help Toshiba contribute to achieving SDGs, which the global community is working on now. Now, I would like to touch upon the numerical targets in Toshiba Next Plan and the four reforms that are keys in realizing them. First, the objective of Toshiba Next Plan. The basic objectives of our corporate activities is to enhance the value for our employees, customers, business partners, and community, and also to enhance shareholders' value by maximizing enterprise value. Enterprise value will be maximized based on three policies. First, the first policy is to invest aggressively in growth. And nowadays, M&A market is is a place where multiple is extremely high, and it's not a good time to do some M&A activities. Therefore, our core activity will be organic growth. Secondly, we should never let our guard down in managing risks. The nuclear-related business, overseas construction business, were all spinned off, and NAND flash memory, 60%, had been separated. B2C, an area where volatility is extremely high, but B2C business was separated as well. The business area with high capital cost had been removed from our business activities. We are not going to take excessive risks. We will strengthen the cyber side business by trying to achieve stable and sustainable corporate activity. And the third policy is to continuously improving and strengthening earning power. This is true with any company. Good companies are always managing costs and try to optimize their process and improve their daily process. So companies who are good at this basic earning power are the good blue-chip companies, and we will continuously strengthen this area. And also, as a CPS technology company, rather than being a capital-heavy business model, a model in which we do not leverage too much capital. That is how we try to earn revenue and profit, and at the same time, we want to improve our enterprise value and also strengthen shareholders' return. I would like to talk about TSR. TSR consists of capital gain and dividends. It stands for total shareholders' return. So TSR reflects the results of corporate activities in a comprehensive and objective manner from shareholders' standpoint. We place importance on TSR as a medium and long-term indicator. Then let me talk about some of the numerical targets of Toshiba Next Plan. In FY 2019, ROS will be aimed at over 4%. 140 billion yen is the operating income, and 230 billion yen EBITDA, and 340 billion yen EBITDA. In 2021, ROS 6% or over. Within three-year period, we will aim to achieve top-class ROS. That is the ultimate goal within three-year period. In 5 years from now, in FY 2023, 4 trillion yen of revenue, ROS 10% will be our target. Toshiba is a company which is specialized in physical area, and for such company, this figure is really a top-class performance level. As for ROE, in FY 2019, more than 6% ROE. Our business model has been shifted to become very stable. Our capital cost is going to be lower, and in FY 2019, the so-called equity spread is likely to become positive. And in FY 2021, more than 10%. In FY 2023, 15%. So we want to improve the premium for equity spread. Page 14. In starting Toshiba Next Plan, selection and concentration has been implemented on a full scale. We try to put the critical situation behind us, and in order to shift into a stable organization, we have made a lot of efforts, and let me explain on that efforts. The left-hand side is the internal control and also governance strengthening. That's on the left-hand side of the slide. And on the right-hand side, some of the risk factors that might be obstacle to our business, they have been removed, eliminated. Toshiba Memory business was transferred, strengthening financial status, eliminated risk from overseas nuclear power plant business, splitting of B2C business. So as a result of that efforts, our business model has become considerably stable. B2C manufacturing business and semiconductor battery, these are the main device for the digital era, and also cyber-type business model. So these are the three pillars of Toshiba's future business. That is the business model we are aiming at. And through these efforts, financial status has improved considerably. Business volatility has gone down. So we can say for sure that we have concluded concentration and selection of business. And so we want to really focus on our business in a stable manner. Next, I would like to talk about the factors that have led to the increase or decrease of our profit from FY18 to FY19. Operating income is planned to be doubled in 1 year. As you see on the left-hand side, operating income forecast in FY18, as Mr. Hirata explained, 60 billion yen. But excluding the restructuring cost, which is one-time cost, I think we can say that our operating income can be 87.3 billion yen. In FY19, 25 billion yen by procurement reforms and restructuring, 43 billion yen improvement. So we will make improvements through those firm measures. And also, considering increase in revenue, operating income can be increased to 170 billion yen. But we need to incorporate risk factors to be conservative, like exchange rate and market, which is 30 billion yen. So our goal for FY19 is 140 billion yen.
Next, allow me to move on to the next page. This will be allow me to speak about the next 3 years towards fiscal year 2021. There's going to be heading towards fiscal 2021, in addition to the expanding effects of procurement reform of 65 billion and structural reform of 58 billion. Sales and product mix change and improvement effects of 82.7 billion that will show as a result of investments for growth should bring us to about 275 billion. And we will be adding a conservative risk buffer to this, which brings us to a target of 240 billion Japanese yen. In developing the Toshiba Next Plan, we have CFT, which we will be installing as a methodology. Ever since I was installed back in April of this year, we tried to reinforce our base revenue generation capability. And we wanted to be a very solid company. And we wanted to make sure that we can invest in a concentrated manner for growth areas. And these are the strategic pillars. And we established 9 cross-functional teams and have proactively engaged in deliberations. So it was a very heated discussion. Here's the overall agenda, which I will discuss in detail from the next page and on. First, discussing our plan for structural reform. In order to regenerate Toshiba, we need to first mitigate future risk. And we want to make sure that we can optimize production structure and talent allocation. That would be the prerequisite. As announced today, we have resolved at our board to withdraw from our U.S. LNG business. Further, we have decided to withdraw from our U.K. nuclear power station new construction businesses and have decided to dissolve new generation. With all this, our overseas nuclear construction business, together with cutoff of the B2C business, will generally mean we have concluded the series of our risk mitigation measures. As for staffing, we do have orders 2-3 years down the line as a company. Therefore, due to the nature of the business, we have determined that a sudden once optimization of talent will be inappropriate. And we will lose trust with the customers. And it will be inappropriate for boosting our corporate value. Therefore, we are going to move ahead with operational efficiency and digitalization. And each year, there should be about 3,000 individuals that will be leaving on an organic basis. Therefore, in the next 5 years, there should be an organic decrease of about 7,000 individuals. And with this number, we are going to be working on trying to execute how we may be able to generate more profit. And for some business units, we will be introducing some early retirement schemes, as Hirata explained before. With plants as the core, production sites will be reviewed in a holistic manner, and we are currently working on this. And 15% of the sites will be either closed or restructured. Furthermore, currently we have about 400-plus subsidiaries, of which we are planning to reduce about 25%. Details of each of the different measures will be made available once we have them. Next, allow me to move on to procurement-related reforms. Toshiba's cost rate, when we compare with our peers, is relatively high. And that is something that we know. And therefore, there is solid room for improvement. In the Toshiba Next Plan, up until fiscal year 2021, in the next 3 years, we included a 3%, 65 billion yen cost reduction effect. This is 3% versus the overall expense. By fiscal year 2023, we are expecting 100 billion. Already in the area of direct material area, we have completed a survey of 60% of the procurement items. For indirect area, we are trying to minimize our expenditure, and we are already starting to see some results. When it comes to procurement-related CFT activities, it just kicked off in a full-scale manner recently. And this is something that we need to use this in a very continued manner. And therefore, we plan to see an accumulation of results going forward. Next, allow me to move on to sales reform. Similar in sales reform area as well, we are studying this by business unit. Though not included in the next plan in numerical form, we are seeing that there should be a 30 billion improvement in the sales area as a result of sales cost reduction and proper pricing and others. And we are going to be making sure we deliver solidly. Further, in aims to reinforce our relationship with customers and the market, we will implement key account sales structure as well as CRM and digital marketing. And when we embark on projects, specifically big-ticket projects, there were some loss-generating projects in the past. Therefore, we will make sure that we will have a reinforced corporate-level pre-order-taking screening process to make sure that we can prevent future losses and risks at the order-taking stage. Lastly, allow me to touch upon process reform. To improve sales per employee and boost profitability, we will make a large-scale investment to standardize operations across Toshiba and to promote digitalization. For next-generation IT investments, we will embark on renewing items, including our core systems. We will leverage cloud very proactively to reduce operational cost and eliminate the numerous individually optimal silo, and we want to try to eliminate 80% of such obsolete systems and replace them with a platform that is suitable for supporting a new CPS technology company. And that is the type of platform that we hope to put together. And at the same time, by investing into engineering reform, we want to have common parts, and we want to reduce the number of design man hours, and we want to minimize lead time. In order to materialize such, we want to make sure that modular design will be a practice across Toshiba Group as a whole, in order to make sure that we can boost productivity and also satisfy customers even more so than ever. As for capital expenditure for supporting profit growth, we are planning 810 billion Japanese yen across the next 5 years. Traditionally, we were focusing our investments into NAND flash memory. Therefore, social infrastructure business did not see enough investments for growth. They could have achieved more profit if they had some investments. However, we did not have enough investments in that area. And we want to make sure we can promote profitability in such areas in the future. So in the Toshiba Next Plan, we will spend about 50 billion more in comparison to the past, focusing investments in renewable energy, power semiconductor devices, nearline HDD, SCIB batteries that will have solid, promising growth potential. And that is where we want to focus our investments going forward. As explained before, we have no plans for M&A at the moment, and we will not be using our cash for large-scale M&As. Moving on to R&D. As noted in the outset, we are a technology company, and as such, R&D is very critical for Toshiba. We are planning for about 930 billion, a little less than 1 trillion Japanese yen for developing cost across next five areas. This will be for renewable energies as well as supercritical CO2 turbines. And it will be more of the environmentally friendly products as well as CIB batteries, power electronics, power semiconductors, nearline HDD. These are the growth areas that we want to invest in together with concentrating our resources into IoT for business reform to address development of future technology in the coming decade or two decades for Toshiba. Allow me to move on to cash flow and financial setup. In the Toshiba Next Plan, we will concentrate our investments in the first year. As I noted before, investment for growth in 2019 will contribute to cash flow from 2021 and on. We plan for a free cash flow of 185 billion. Financial setup. Shareholder equity ratio was 18% in 2017. Should remain at 30% levels even after a share buyback of about 700 billion Japanese yen. Our business is very stable, as mentioned before. And based on different models, our capital versus the risk, we think this is the appropriate and sufficient level. And we will be in a net cash position, meaning that we have no debt in reality. That will be something that we will be able to continue to enjoy. So we will maintain a very stable financial setup in order to boost our profitability. Allow me to move on to our business portfolio. As mentioned before, since we are going to be withdrawing from our overseas nuclear business and cutting off our B2C business, we have a very stable model that we have shifted into. Allow me to now share with you about our current thinking on the business portfolio. On the horizontal axis, it has the growth of the market, and the vertical axis has Toshiba's competitive edge. Based on our internal deliberations, we have broken down this into a more granular business level within each of the business units. As our basic thinking, areas that have growth potential for the future is where we will be investing into in order to seek organic growth. On the other hand, the currently deficit-generating businesses or businesses that may have difficulty in the future will embark on structural shift to seek margin improvement to make sure that they can be a very solid business. And we will have a periodical monitoring as well as toll gate management exhaustively in place to observe how they are progressing. By 2020, we want to eradicate all deficit-generating businesses, and basically across all businesses, we want to aim for an ROS of 5% and more. As I mentioned before, we have been continually investing heavily into our memory business, and therefore we have not been able to allocate enough investments into growth potential area businesses. In Toshiba Next Plan, we want to concentrate 80% of our investment in areas that have promising growth potential in order to materialize organic growth.
Next, I would like to touch upon the monitored businesses. For monitored businesses, our game plan is to achieve 5% of ROS. And this is the result of the discussion with the leaders of each business unit. Now, first, thermal power business. As you're well aware, in accordance with the decrease of new projects, the new construction projects are really fewer and fewer. Therefore, renewal of power plant, namely the service demand, is going to increase. So we will be shifting our resources to those service businesses. And at the same time, the overall pie will be smaller. So we will cut down on the manpower and also reduce production capabilities. And even under this new environment, we will make sure we will optimize fixed costs. And in FY20, we want to achieve over 5% of ROS. Now, system LSI business. This is a promising component in the digital era. However, the problem is we cannot secure the scale of business necessary to pay for the R&D cost, so it is in red. However, in the automotive and industrial areas are growing, and we are expecting revenue increase in those areas. So we want to focus our development resources in those focus areas. On the other hand, we are going to withdraw from areas where we can't get enough scale. In FY20, through these operations, 5% ROS is our target to achieve. Next is industrial motors. Rising material costs has led to low profit. Therefore, what is important here is to shift to high-end products. And for some of the lower-margin products, we are negotiating with our customers to increase the price. And also through restructuring and scaling down the production capacity, we will make sure to turn around this business so that it can be a profit-generating business. So at present, ROS is 1%, but we want to achieve 4% ROS. Finally, HDD business. Currently, we are maintaining around 5% of ROS. However, mobile HDD business, in the future, it is expected to decline. In accordance with that, we need to get ahead of that and change the structure. For mobile HDD, we will reduce the production capacity and expand the production capacity for large capacity HDD, for data centers, and we will accelerate a business shift. For those businesses, we will set up stage gate and strictly monitor the progress of the plan. And we make sure that those business can be converted to a profit-generating business. Now, I would like to talk about the numerical targets for business units-wise. And during the Q&A, we have the people in charge of each business unit for detailed questions. You can ask them later. Let me just talk about the outline. First, the energy systems. As I said earlier, thermal power business is being shifted from construction to service business. And in that process, in FY19, we expect the revenue is going to decline temporarily. But by re-evaluating production-based strategy and by reducing fixed costs, we will be able to improve ROS, and we will strengthen renewable energy and solution businesses and try to achieve 8% ROS in FY21. And the next slide explains the operating profit plan for energy system. 12 billion yen gain by procurement reform and restructuring will realize 10 billion yen profit and strengthening the basic earning power. And in FY21, we want to achieve 52 billion yen operating profit. Next is the infrastructure system. This is the area where we are expecting the largest organic growth. Not just product sales, but O&M should be expanded, and 1.5 trillion yen of revenue is expected in FY21. Railway, industrial area, building facilities segment, they are the driving force to increase the revenue. And also, public infrastructure segment is stable and profit is expected to increase. In FY19, ROS 5% or over is planned, and by reaping the fruits of the growth investment, we want to achieve 8% ROS in FY21. And this segment will be a contributor to free cash flow as well. Next is the breakdown of that operating profit target. By procurement reform, it is based on highly likely improvement prediction. And we believe the reform will lead to 29 billion yen improvement. And restructuring will have the gain of 15 billion yen. And by reaping the results of investment in FY21, operating profit is expected to be 121 billion yen. And the next page is explaining the specific expansion plan. Infrastructure system business sales will increase from this fiscal year's 1.26 trillion yen to 1.49 trillion yen in FY21, which is 230 billion yen increase in revenue. To give you a specific example, lithium-ion rechargeable batteries is really promising in growing automotive market. Japan, India, the United States, we are planning to invest in the increase of production capacity in those countries. In HVAC area, China business is really good. So we are planning to invest in products for overseas where we can expect market growth. Next is storage and device. this is system LSI is a monitored business, so it should undergo a structural reform so that it can revive earning power. At the same time, automotive and industrial power devices, nearline HDD, those growth areas, we will invest in production capacity increase. And in FY21, 940 billion yen revenue is expected, ROS of 9%. Next page, we have the breakdown. By procurement reform, 20 billion yen effect, and by structural reform and restructuring, we will identify non-focus products, optimize manpower, and optimize R&D cost. Through these strategies, 16 billion yen improvement is expected. And add some growth business sales increase. In FY21, we will increase the operating profit to 82 billion yen. Finally, industrial ICT business. We will focus on our strength area, mainly factories. By that, we want to propose solutions that can differentiate ourselves. And the major challenge in this area is high cost. So we need to reduce the cost ratio and also reduce fixed cost, as we did last year. We were able to improve within short period, and by FY21, 8% ROS is the plan to achieve. And the next page shows the breakdown. By FY21, 8 billion yen improvement by restructuring. We started with 6 billion yen. In FY21, 8 billion yen improvement with the expansion of IoT business. In the operating profit, which was 6 billion yen in FY18, is to be increased to 20 billion yen in FY21. So 35 billion yen risk buffer is incorporated, but this is before that. This is the basis of 275 billion yen operating profit. Although I said this is based on 275 billion yen revenue, not the 240 billion yen. So for the details, I think I can explain further during the Q&A session. Next is our policy and shareholder returns. As our CFO explained to you earlier, it's been decided at today's Board of Director meeting to implement 700 billion yen stock buyback. It will be a considerably large-scale stock buyback. But we want to make sure we can implement it as quickly and smoothly as possible. At the same time, for the first time in 4 years, first time since 2014, we have decided to resume dividend payments. We have caused a lot of trouble to our shareholders, who some of you may be present today. We have caused a lot of nuisance and problems to you, but we will resume dividends payments of 20 yen per share with end of December 2018 as the date of record. Over the five-year course of the Toshiba Next Plan, average consolidated dividend payout ratio of 30% will be the target. We will try to provide stable and continuous dividends and exercise stock buybacks whenever appropriate in order to improve shareholder returns. For the time being, returns and or losses from Toshiba Memory shares will not be included in shareholder returns. Therefore, it is excluded from cash-based shareholder return policy. Now, So far, I've talked about building the foundation of Toshiba, and I will talk about the breakdown of that plan. And that's what I have been talking about. And next, I would like to talk about the development of new growth fields. In Toshiba Next Plan, the Toshiba Next Plan has identified medium and long-term growth area by comparing the technology assets that we own and the mega trends. It is possible in this mega trend that disruptive innovation will make a major social change. So we are driven by technology, and Toshiba recognizes this change as a major opportunity. Toshiba has its unique digital technology, AI technology, abundant business domain assets, high-performance core components. We will gather all of these technologies and invest them, and we want to aim to grow a new business. And let me show you some examples. First is the SCIB, lithium-ion rechargeable battery. Our lithium-ion rechargeable battery has a lot of strength, such as high safety, rapid charging enabled by our unique anode material. This is really unique to Toshiba. And we believe it's really one of the best batteries. And by making use of this strength, we want to capture market share in automotive and industrial market. The demand is beginning to increase. That's what I feel. And for mass production, increase has already been decided. And collaboration with our strategic partner is underway. The negotiation is underway. We have various offers. And by 2013, 400 billion yen business is what we are trying to achieve. But if possible, we want to accelerate the achieving of that target. Next, power electronics area. Together with battery, power electronics is really the key device in digital era. Battery and semiconductor are really the two pillars. Low loss, next generation power device, and its systemization technology are Toshiba's strength. High growth is expected in power device market. Toshiba is investing in our competitive silicon power device, and also silicon carbide and gallium nitride. They are the next generation power device, and we want to work on them as well. Inverter module with high efficiency, automotive LSI sensors will be combined to make an automated systems, and those technology will be provided to industrial and mobility areas within Toshiba, where we have abundant domain assets. Next is next new growth business is the precision medicine area. With the high-tech medical technology advancing, regenerative cellular medicine market is expected to grow. And Toshiba has a lot of promising products, technology, and customer connections in order to achieve cutting-edge precision medicine. For example, Japonica Array that analyzes genes unique to Japanese efficiently, and microRNA that can detect cancers of multiple organs simultaneously by blood test alone, and heavy ion radiotherapy that focuses only on the cancer lesion. These are the element technologies and products ranging from prevention to treatment. Imaging diagnosis is the area we excel in, and it's been spun out of Toshiba, but the basic technology remains within Toshiba, and under the Toshiba Next Plan, we will have a full-scale re-entry into the medical business with precision medicine at the core, providing very early detection and individualized treatment.
From here, allow me to discuss Toshiba's digital transformation strategy. When digital revolution progresses, key devices as well as semiconductors, as well as batteries that I noted before, which are components, key components that support the digital society, will become increasingly important. At the same time, operation and services will expand by leveraging data. When we look at products in the center, and also the device on the left is what we have been embarking on. Products will be B2C and B2B was traditionally what we addressed. But B2C has been cut off temporarily, so now we have a B2B stable customer base where we are going to be concentrating our resources. And that will be our device and model going forward. And digital society will be supported with semiconductors and batteries towards the right. As you may observe, the physical area, meaning devices, as well as the real area, will be where we have data available. Therefore, all the data that we have available is going to be an asset that we want to leverage going forward to make sure that we have an overarching cyber business that we would be able to enjoy. There are big, giant cyber companies already existing, but when it comes to their business, they will try to deploy data to each of the different businesses, and they want to dominate data. And they are creating a very giant business. However, a business model limited to the cyber world is reaching its limits. And all the GAFA companies will need to move to the physical side, otherwise they won't be able to leverage data further. Basically, data comes from the physical side. And this is where you need to place the core. Cyber business is going to be exhaustively carried out from here and on. So we want to make sure that physical data can be used efficiently and operated in an efficient manner to optimize the society. I think companies that are capable of doing so will be the winners in the next stage. And we want to be the winning company. And by capturing this overarching trend, we ourselves, Toshiba, will need to make sure that we implement digitalization to every corner of our organization. And we need to reform ourselves. And I declare that we shall do so. As I noted, the platform, which is going to be ICT system, will be renovated. And together with this, not only our operational process, which will be renewed through IT developments, we want to make sure that we reform our thinking process to suit the cyber physical security arena. Currently, we have 42,000 engineers, and there are 7,000 that are digitally abled. But I want to make sure that all 42,000 individuals will be digitally abled. These engineers have a lot of technology, and it's more difficult than cyber technology. So the way they think, or so long as the direction is clearly defined, we know that the technology group can become a very strong technology group in the order of tens of thousands. And another thing to note, in order to implement IoT into the society, what is going to be our architecture? Toshiba's IoT architecture is going to be made public to all. All of our technology achievements will be made public to all. The industry reference models, as well as customers' practical technologies, as well as our AI R&D knowledge accumulated over the years, will be consolidated and standardized. And we have developed Toshiba IoT reference architecture based on these elements. Operational optimization technology for the physical ground and services will be connected to generate new value, and we want to make sure that human knowledge can be inherited in digital form. And we want to make sure that with this as the core, IoT technology will be evolved further. And reflecting this in the global standards, we want to make sure that we return to customer society and help develop existing businesses. In Toshiba, a fusion between cyber technology and physical technology has already started. Services to optimize power generation plans for power plants based on demand projections, and factory IoT that support production line yield improvement and utilization rates, sophisticated maintenance and operational support using digital twin retail platform, using in-shop data such as POS data in making demand projections and inventory info are areas to address. Of course, we will be answering in the Q&A session. But we have from IBM and Siemens, we have Mr. Yamamoto and Mr. Shimada. Together with them, we will be embarking on new areas of IoT. And we are currently developing our new game plan. And this is where we want to see a very big shift and change. And the source, which will be AI technology. Currently, Toshiba's AI digital technology is basically top level. Outside sources have given us quite a bit of credit. Data mining productivity and semiconductor productivity improvement technology has been rewarded the gold prize from Ground Innovation Prize by the Japan Society for AI. And Tokyo Electric Power Holdings has hosted a electrical power demand projection technology. And in the first, I think, round of contests, we have won excellent prize. And object assumption technology using deep learning and image recognition by utilizing multiple cameras in order to identify the same individual. These are areas that we are very excellent in. And for all of these different technologies, we have many different, I think, areas that we can embark on. When I visit all of these R&D facilities, it seems like they're not really seeing the light, even though they have great technology. We want to make sure that we have a solid game plan in place so that we can merge this with our technology, so that the mindset of the engineers can be changed significantly to make sure we can commercialize all of these technologies that we have. Toshiba has been continuing to grow the past 140 years based on our physical strength in the area of production. But in AI and digital technology, we have people as our core competence, and we have quite a bit of business domain assets, and we want to make sure that we have gather our collective strength to merge cyber and physical to create an even better business. And we want to make sure that we can create new services and businesses that address the problems that the society is facing, and we want to be a CPS technology company that can lead digital transformation. Lastly, allow me to touch upon the structure for how we will be executing our Toshiba Next plan. First, venture spirit needs to be awakened. This is Toshiba's DNA. And of course, this is going to be part of our business. But when we generate new businesses, we want to make sure that there is a solid mechanism in place. At Toshiba, even though it may not be large, We have many attractive, I think, technologies, and I'm sure many venture capitalists will want to commercialize some of these technologies. And we want to promote commercializing all of these different capabilities. And as part of this promotional, I think, function, we want to proactively leverage all, I think, resources, both in-house as well as outside. And we are going to be launching a 10 billion yen scale CVC fund. There will be a lot of outside technology that will be subject to the CVC fund. And next, as I have been noting, we want to increase the number of digital talent. Of course, the 4,000, 40,000 plus engineers will be converted into digital talent, and that will be most important. However, we want to invite extremely talented individuals from outside as well so that we can try to boost our digital capability and also to accelerate our digital capabilities. And in July, Corporate Digitalization CTO, we have welcomed Mr. Yamamoto from IBM, who was the top in the global arena. And from Siemens, we have welcomed Mr. Shimada as CSO. In Toshiba, we are running various programs in order to develop digital talent. Of course, we will recruit from outside as well. Allow me to repeat. Toshiba is a group of very strong engineering talent. And we want to make sure that we can further leverage our strength and expand our strength. Allow me to move on to the next theme. We want to make sure that we reflect the opinions of the younger generation. In line with the next Toshiba Next Plan, younger employees that are in their 20s and 30s have been gathered together, and we call them the Younger Next Project. And we have asked them to make different proposals. And that has been reflected in many of our new Next Plan. It is made of 24 members. They have discussed about business that leads Toshiba's future and structure for generating new business. I did say that this was reflected in Toshiba's Next Plan, but there are areas that we need to work more in granular detail in the medical arena as well, and we are going to be discussing the realization and the feasibility of each of these ideas going forward. And now moving on to our corporate structure. I mentioned in the outset that Toshiba is a venture-type technology company, and that is the core for our development. Toshiba, historically, has been multi-layered. Based on our features, I think our organization should be very simple and very flat. That's my thinking. When we look at the current Toshiba Group's organizational structure based on historical significance, it is very multi-layered and very complicated. Currently, we are reviewing this organizational structure. As an idea, we want to try to make sure that consolidation of business units and simplification of hierarchy will be happening so that we want to have quick decision-making. We want to expedite the speed, and that is the type of structure that we want to have in place. Namely, we are going to be reorganizing our business units, and we'll be consolidating them, and we are going to be slimming down our corporate organization, and we will make sure that we optimize our staffing and also seeking efficiency. And also, we will be reviewing our executive officers' compensation scheme. As performance-linked index, there will be ROS, our ability to generate profit. An absolute target will be set, as well as ROIC, as well as ROE. It will be targets that we will be setting. And depending on the achievement levels, the compensation will be adjusted. As I mentioned in the outset, TSR, total shareholder return, will be accounted for. And further, restricted stock portion will be expanded significantly. And with this, we want to make sure that management will be motivated to be responsible for contributing to improving and boosting corporate value in the mid-long term together with the shareholders. And that is what we are hoping to achieve. Now moving on to internal control. So based on Tosho's self-regulatory ideas, when it comes to our internal control, that has been given quite a bit of credit, and they said that it should be fine to move ahead with the current scheme. We will continue to have business units in the first line to be accountable for profit and loss and operate the businesses. They need to be rock solid. Therefore, the first line will be most important. And as the second line of defense, we will have corporate staff, which will be enhancing horizontal alignment and monitoring and supporting. And lastly, internal audit in the third line will focus more than ever in risk management, group governance, and compliance. And we will be making enhancements in each of these different areas. Lastly, as I explained, in order to build a solid Toshiba and to make sure that we are in line with the overarching trend of the world, and for us to make sure that we execute this next plan in a very solid manner, we need to make sure we have a good structure and mechanism in place. Each and every employee of Toshiba Group will need to commit to Toshiba's next plan, and they need to have a conviction to make sure that this will be surely executed and delivered. And we need to make sure that we share this thinking across the whole group. That would be most critical. As I said, the philosophy of Toshiba Group, which is available on the left and the right, and the 10 Toshiba commandments for Toshiba Next Plan execution. From today and on, each and every one of the employees will need to make sure that they embark on activities and make Toshiba Next Plan theirs. Together, HR schemes is being reviewed by HR currently to make sure that the action and results that contribute to the achieving of these targets will be rewarded. And that is going to be embedded as a supporting factor for Toshiba Next Plan. For the people, for the planet, and for tomorrow. This is Toshiba Group's management philosophy. We will work as one, as a group, to materialize Toshiba Next Plan and make sure we respond to all of what our stakeholders, including our shareholders, are asking of us, and we want to contribute further to the development of the society. Thank you very much for your attention. With this, we would like to conclude the briefing for Toshiba Next Plan.
So thank you very much. We would like to now move on to Q&A session. We would like to introduce you the additional members. We have Mr. Shinichiro Akiba present and CEO Toshiba Infrastructure Systems and Solutions Corporation. We have Mr. Masayoshi Hirata, Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Executive Vice President, CEO. We have Mr. Hironobu Nishikori, President and CEO, Toshiba Digital Solutions Corporation. We have Mr. Hiroshi Fukuchi, President and CEO, Toshiba Electronic Devices and Storage Corporation. We have Mr. Mamoru Harazawa, Hatazawa, President and CEO, Toshiba Energy Systems and Solutions Corporation. We have Mr. Taro Shimada, Chief Strategy Officer at Corporate Digital Business. So now we would like to open Q&A session regarding the specific way of buying back our own shares. I'm sorry, but we are not able to answer to your questions. But other than that, we would like to welcome your questions. Thank you very much. We would like to bring you to a microphone when you raise your hand. Please, could you kindly identify yourself before you make a question, you ask a question? Your organization and also your name. Thank you. My name is Kitada from Asahi Newspaper. I have a question to Mr. Kurumatani. In principle, it is about the plant reorganization, headcount reduction. In the timely disclosure, you referred to it was a mentioning of the early retirement of 1,000 people, and also you are considering additional headcount reduction. Now, in Toshiba Group, already in the past, you have done significant restructuring. So in addition to natural attrition, why do you think it is necessary also to conduct early retirement? And also regarding the headcount reduction, you are referring to 7,000. So is it possible to expand the scope of the early retirement? And also, how do you regard your responsibility as a management team regarding the use of the early retirement program? Thank you very much for your question. Regarding your early retirement, this time, this is Energy Department, Energy Corporation, and also System Solutions. That's are the areas that we're going to conduct headcount reduction or early retirement. So we're not going to do it across the company, but regarding those parts of the organization where there is a problem in terms of business management, we're going to conduct early retirement. So in order to raise the profitability to appropriate level, each business unit thought about the possible options. And for these two organizations, they judged that the reduction of fixed costs was necessary. That is, so therefore, it's not that we made a judgment to conduct significant major reorganization. Regarding the number of the headcount, the total headcount, how many people do we need? It is tied to IoT investment and how much efficiency we can gain. So headcount issue is always tied to investment. And when we don't do any investment for IoT, we need to increase the headcount to some level in order to achieve the plan. But then we did invest in IoT ledger, and now we have the plan that we can achieve the target with higher efficiency with 7,000 people reduction. Most of them are really coming from attrition, natural attrition, 3,000 people, 4,000 people a year. It's just that the age structure of the current employees are such that it will be the case. So of course, we will do hiring in parallel, so we have to balance the two. Regarding early retirement, so I understand that it will be about 1,400 some. Do you think it will increase in the future, the retirement, early retirement people? And also, it's not the shift of the resources, but you are using early retirement method instead. How do you regard your own responsibility as a management team for this decision? Well, in the future, we don't have any plan to carry out this kind of early retirement once again in the near future. Of course, it's about the future. Things are subject to change. But at least currently, we don't have any plan to carry out similar method. In the top management team, although this is limited to a few departments, and also although that is tied to the current performance of the departments, we, of course, regret that we have to use this method. In relationship with the plant reorganization, again, you are talking about the reduction of the locations by 15%. Now, for industrial motors and thermal power plant, monitorings activities are done to look at the appropriate level of the facilities. Is that the reason, is that the data or the basis for you to decide 15%? Can you talk about that? Regarding the plant reorganization, of course, it's tied to the local community impact. It is a very sensitive issue. So internally, too, we have done very careful study, review, and therefore, we probably need to disclose after everything is finalized and decided, but the idea is to consolidate more larger, more efficient plants, and in that sense, we believe that we can enhance the efficiency and also align rationalization. That is the basic thinking.
Thank you very much. Now, the next person, please. The two reporters down, if you would. Thank you. I am Yamada of Toyo Keizai. I have a short question, actually three of them. The first question is, sorry, this is kind of straightforward, but you know, this is such a fancy hotel as a venue, and the fact that your president is not here, I wonder why you have chosen this venue and why you have the lineup of management as you have been there. So I think some of the comments that you are have delivered kind of lack the ground. The hotel was arranged by public relations. We're kind of late in deciding the venue, so we didn't have much choice. Well, I think you have used your headquarters office, haven't you? Yes, true. But this time around, public relations department thought that this is a big announcement, and therefore it would be nice to have a larger venue. So the management have acknowledged such a need to have a large venue. And the fact that Mr. Kurumatani, the chairman, why is he not there? We talked about that within the management representatives group. It's a mid- to long-term announcement that we're making today. I thought that I'll be more suitable person to deliver the message, and that's all. The second point, you talked about organization. You said you're going to split the company structure, and how do you judge the effect, positive effect of it? Although there are some negative comments with regard to your split earlier, so what is your assessment now? You talked about making your organization more flat. Does it mean that you're envisioning a smaller organization? This is the second question. Well, in terms of splitting company split. We're going to keep status quo next year and ongoing. But in terms of decision-making line, we currently have a complex decision-making line. So as we go through the business units structure, we want to simplify the decision-making procedure. That simplification is the very aim of business unit structure. And in terms of the number of units, we're going to have large groupings so that we can, you know, focus on the necessary areas where our resources need to be injected. Thus, you know, quick decision making is also important. So, do you think that you know, having splitting your structure and having different business units, that's successful? Well, I think it's more, you know, some people say this is more granular type of company management, but I myself think that there is good unity. As long as we have a good unified thinking in place, we have 9 CFTs. I think CFT is functionally very efficient, and the side CFT to CFT kind of communication becomes quite smooth. This is really the way a company is united, and I felt that day in, day out. Every day I went to work, and I felt that there is a good unity in place. So vertically and horizontally, there are some benefits to the command and the structure, you know, to both extent, and I would like to emphasize the benefit of business units. The third point is regarding the risk management. My question is whether you are confident to manage your risks very well. Usually, risk management is looked at from the point of the value or amount. CBY9 and Rest Webster, the amount, not such a large amount, so this has not been taken kind of seriously or deeply. So how are you going to learn from your previous experiences when it comes to risk management? The Freeport is a 100 billion loss, and I think that needs to be put under focus. Well, my earlier business role also forced me to look at risk management. So I think the rule of thumb is when it comes to project management, there's project supervision, and there's some criteria that we have set forth. And once it hits the criteria, then it will be looked at a deeper level. And we have that system, well, putting that in our risk management system now. So what used to kind of go through without the necessary deeper look now is going to be caught at those levels. So we have the system in place now. Regarding M&A, of course, this is needless to say, all of the M&A project of possibility will be scrutinized by myself specifically. So we will make sure that we'll do the duly process. I understand the criteria you talked about, but usually, the real risky ones do not have the price tag, so to speak, or at the time of contract signage, you don't know what the potential risks are. How are you going to catch them? Well, regarding them, we would make sure that the headquarters makes the decision on those activities directly. Of course, there is that guideline that we talked about that serves as the criteria, but the ones which could possibly come through the criteria barrier also needs to be caught. So, you know, beyond and above the guidelines and criteria, each department head, for example, is on a watch. And if there's anything of a fishy nature, then it comes to me directly. So the screening, so to speak, is going to be very deep and wide, at least for the time being.
Yes, this person in the front row, thank you. My name is Moriyama. I'm from J.P. Morgan Securities. I have three questions. First, it's about the future of the domestic nuclear power plant projects. What do you think about that in your midterm plan or midterm strategy? EVWR, basically, that is the technology that you're using. So the restart of the plants are very difficult, it seems, and also according to media's articles, Hitachi Mitsubishi and you may establish a jointly a company under the leadership of the government. So if such a thing should be proposed, what would you be your thinking about that idea? If you could share your thinking as much as you could appreciate. I would like to have then Mr. Hatazawa, who is from Energy Systems. Thank you. Regarding domestic nuclear power plants, within the government's energy strategy, the nuclear power plant is supposed to account for some certain level of the percentage in order to contribute to stable supply of the power. That's how we understand. So into the future, we would like to put our efforts there continuously. Now, second question about the possibility of the restart of the operation. It will be discussion between the government and also power companies, and we are there to support their decisions. And for the reorganization of the industry, we're sorry, but we cannot make any comment on the based on the hypothetical questions. Sorry. And I was trying to – I just summarized you know, these three questions are in one question of the nuclear power plant. So I would like to ask you the other two questions. There's a business portfolio on page 22, and monitoring scope, those companies. I'm talking about page 26, I'm sorry. So entity to be monitored, and also when you decide to terminate the monitoring, what will be the trigger to end that monitoring? Especially in the latter half of the presentation, storage companies, power HDD, when you want to focus on these two, in midterm sales growth seems to be quite aggressive. So power and HDD system LSI, including your strategy about these two, three items, if you could share with us your thinking. Monitoring is very important, I think, we believe, and actually very detailed monitoring has been done 3 months, 6 months, sometimes every month we conduct monitoring. That is the assumption. And we have established, we set KPIs for each entity, and we judge, we see if the KPIs are met, not met, and also if it is not met, why it is not met. And so we would follow up on this ensure the execution of the plan. And if the goal indicated here cannot be achieved, and with a very big gap, maybe we need to carry out some different mass activities. So some kind of criteria for judgment is held internally. For system LSI and mobile, I would like to cover that. My name is Suguchi. I'm from Device, Electronic Device. Now, for HDD, traditionally, HDD for PC is an area that we've been very strong, but it's been shifted to SSD in the market, and also near LI image, it will be the bigger volume will be the case near line HDD. But then last year we announced large volume, large capacity near line HDD. This has been very strong, and yet the certification by the customers takes time because they're very careful. But this is bound to grow, we believe. So in terms of the sales, we do not believe that our forecast or our target is that aggressive. For system LSI, we have been regarding that as an issue. So finally, SOC for automotive industry and also industry purpose logic, we have getting more probability for success for these two. So now we are going to shift our engineers to discrete size so that we can control the fixed cost while we can achieve the 5% ROS through structural reform. Just another question. For owned by buyback, within 1 year, you want to execute this. Now, in your midterm plan, cash is indicated there. If that cash is built up healthily, then within the scope of the shareholders' return, well, this time, you said that you're not that aggressive, but in that aspect, maybe do you think you will be using possibly the own share buyback in the future? Well, regarding that, we have this calculated the distributable cash, and also we need to have to consider the risk to some extent. So when we refer to, when we think about this, to for some time to come, the 700 billion yen is the maximum as what we that we can do. But of course, depending on the cash condition in the future, we also would like to consider the investment opportunities, and of course, it is not impossible to use the method of share buyback, but currently 700 billion yen is quite a big of a size, so our focus now is to carry this out very successfully. For cash, basically, it's not going to, our thinking is not to put it into M&A or focus on organic growth and also buyback and also dividend. That is the purpose of the use of the cash currently in our mind. Thank you.
Thank you. And I would like to make a follow-up announcement regarding what we announced at 12 o'clock.
ENN Logical is a company in China with whom we have signed a contract. And now in the noon, we disclose this as a timely disclosure. And we are going to distribute to you this news release, so please refer to this. So we would like to continue our Q&A session.
We'll continue with the Q&A. The first line. Yeah. I'm Hirakawa, Merrill Lynch Securities. I have three questions. The first question is with regard to your five-year plan, which is quite grand. And you said that you will spend a lot of effort during the first year for a quick sort of a start. You talked about reorganization and regarding in terms of your profit, the first year is going to be in the negative zone. How are you going to, you know, make that even and in a positive territory going thereafter? From 17 to 19, we talked about how we want to improve our net sales and OP, OP profit. Yes, indeed, it's negative 200 billion. But if you were to look at what contributes to that, this is detachment of the PC business, which actually works to the positive side. And we talked about memory, the sales of the memory business. This is going to be independently managed on the part of TMC. So, you know, there's net sales which will not count to us, which will not be on our account, so to speak. So we need to really look at it from a realistic and point of view. In essence, our business is actually more profit-generating. And that is about 25 billion in revenue size. You talked about restructuring a little bit, if you would supplement. Yes, in terms of reorganization, restructuring, we're going to use 27 billion this fiscal year. And then next fiscal year, we already will see 43 billion benefit as a result. So the restructuring that we will do this fiscal year with cost incurring will end up with 10 billion worth of improvement in the following fiscal year. Kurumatani had just explained earlier that there is a natural decrease of staff, and that's quite a large contributor that amounts to 15 billion in amount. And also, system LSI staff members will be transferred to other business divisions. Usually, it would end up with an increased number of staffs in the new business business unit, but we have rationalization for that, and it's about 13 billion positive impact. Altogether, there's about 40 billion impact, you know, as positive effect as a result of restructuring. Thank you. The second question is, looking 3 years down the road, you talked about OP margin being 6% being the target. I heard Mr. Kurumatani talk about 5% as a figure. Even 5%, I think, is an aggressive target, but you talked about 6% today. So what makes you so confident to achieve even higher OP margin? Well, this 6%, you know, this is not our firmly to be achieved target, so to speak, but I have talked with heads of each business unit many a times to come up with a good vision as to how far we can go and what would be the level, achievable level of OP. And as a result, 275 billion came out to be the number that we think we shall keep in mind. But we also need to have a buffer. Of course, margin of error needs to be taken into account. So what I can say here is, you know, it's not the number being the firm target first. We wanted to go somewhere beyond 5% as a result of in-depth, you know, repeated discussions. We all decided that 6% will be a likely target. The third question is regarding IoT. Mr. Shimada, you have the experience of working for Siemens, so perhaps you'll be the right person to answer this question. Siemens has worked on this issue for about, you know, over 10 years, including M&A activities. You came from Siemens. Now you're on board with Toshiba. How do you evaluate positioning of Toshiba IoT globally? And in your eyes, what would be the areas where opportunities are, and also where areas of necessary strengthening efforts are called for? Well, thank you for your question. I think Toshiba is a little lagged in terms of a global IoT standard. There are a couple things I can cite as important points when it comes to IoT. One is technology level. The second point is, you know, how large a clientele do you have, and what large a database do you have? And the third is, you know, how are you going to digitalize everything? Regarding the first two points, of course, Toshiba has no shortfall whatsoever in terms of the technology level and the client database size. You know, the very question is, how are we going to digitalize everything and have IoT business mind? We need to create an ecosystem vis-a-vis the digital systems to be put in place. That is the key point. This is a cultural transformation. And at Siemens, this was the biggest challenge that Siemens faced when it comes to IoT. You know, in a sense, Toshiba is a bit lagged. Latecomer, but I think Toshiba has a good chance of, you know, coming forward strongly to the forefront. Thank you. The next person, please.
My name is Shiga. I'm from Nihon Keizai Shimbun. I have two questions to Mr. Kurumatani. First, it's a little bit philosophical, but what kind of company do you want the company to be in 5 years? It's a little bit abstract, but that's my first question. What kind of company do you want to make Toshiba to be in 5 years? Maybe I didn't, I couldn't explain very well, but I tried to explain what that is in my presentation. When you look at page 9, for example, in 5 years. That is not very far into the future. We are living in a very fast-changing world, however. Now, I joined Toshiba, and I realized that this has a very strong basic capabilities. So for Toshiba to become a very solid organization, that's the first thing, like operation operation should be sufficient and very good and appropriate so that it can bring the appropriate profitability seen in Japan, seen in the world. So that's the first step. And so in 5 years, we want to be an excellent company with a growth potential. That means that 10%, when I say 10%, physicals, among the manufacturers who only work in physical society, 10% means one of the top-level companies. So at least on the side of the physical world, we want to ensure the profitability of the top companies. That's my one of my first goals. And as I said earlier, cyber world and physical world are bound to converge with each other. So there, we believe there's a huge potential for growth. So in 5 years, we would shape some kind of business to relatively high level. So that's another aspect that we would like to I would like to see in it, realized. Thank you. Another question. It's about the cyber and physical conversion. And also, I think it's also tied to Shimada-san's comment. When it comes to IoT, Hitachi is there, Mitsubishi is there, Mitsubishi Electric is there. Already many companies are doing this in Japan. Now, for Toshiba, where do you think you can win? What are your strengths?
Well, this is very much has to do with the fact that how fast we can move forward, of course, with the engineering technology, and how we can actually digitally implement everything. Of course, with Siemens, this is a challenge to digitalize everything. And I think the key word is, you know, how quickly can we achieve it digitally? Of course, we're a dominant in the physical area. We are a platformer, so to speak. And the size of the platformer that we are, we're very unique in that size. So in terms of the grid and whatnot, you know, we are at the very center of where all the data goes in and out. So we have all those terminals under control. Therefore, we have the grasp of the large database. Of course, this is our competitive. Just to cite one, we have many other competitive edges compared to our competitors. So the very key question is, once again, how are we going to make that into our business? Of course, each company has its own strengths. So digital implementation with speed, and I think it's all boils down to that point. Shimada just explained, you know, in terms of clearing you know, targets one and two, having the technology itself and the customer base, we have cleared those 2 points. Now we need to implement quickly. Thank you.
So, thank you. Yes, the person in you in the third row, thank you. Maikawa from Credit Suisse. I have two questions. First, it's about page 26. It's about the business portfolio management. Now, you said that there are four monitoring businesses, and across the company, you have 22 businesses. And if you include subsegments, how many businesses are now under monitoring? That's my first question. And also, you said that you set up the KPIs and monitor the progress of each KPI. But in 2021, if a unit cannot achieve the goal or KPI, then that in 23, maybe you would carry out more fundamental structural reform of that organization, or you decide to just drop it. Do you have an option to reduce the number of the business monitoring? Regarding monitoring, we just explained what it is earlier. And in the future, what will happen in the future? Now, according to our current game plan, we believe that we can reduce the fixed cost and recover the profitability according to our current business plan. That's what we believe. But if it turns out that we couldn't do it at all, or it turns out the environment changes so fundamentally, then we may need to reduce the fixed cost further. And maybe it will necessitate the closure or exit from a specific business. So we carry out the monitoring, and however, the basic idea is to make sure that each business will generate profit under the monitoring. Thank you. Another question. You talk about hard disk and also semiconductor, and then you talked about the potential growth or decline of the sales and profit. Within this five-year plan, the revenue increase sales backed by the extra capacity is also part of the plan. Like, it is possible that you can grow the sales if you have additional capacity, let's say with the lithium ion. But when it comes to railways, I don't know. I'm not so sure. And also, you have the 200 billion yen for another division as well. So it sounds a little bit optimistic to me. Can you talk about that? We have done very thorough study review for these items. Akiba-san can talk about that maybe. I'm responsible for infrastructure business. Thank you very much for your question. Now, in our social infrastructure business, the main part of the grow sales is that we want to focus on the growing markets, and including CBS, we want to use our strong technology to win the projects and then execute those projects, during which we can enhance our productivity and technology further again and then achieve the higher sales. That's the idea. And for the rechargeable batteries, basically this is for the static, stable battery, and also for automotive mounted ones. We are getting very good demand, and the strength is long life and also lower temperature operation and also lower high power and durability. And hybrid EV, an EV bus, and also unmanned transport systems, and also railway systems. These are the applications that we are looking at. When you look at the 21 sales plan, already 60% have been ordered. So for major investment for Japan, Kashiwazaki plant expansion of the capacity, and also at Yokohama R&D site and also manufacturing site will be added. Also, out of Japan, working with Suzuki-sama, we are going to make a plant in Suzuki, and also Johnson Control in the United States. We have signed an agreement for collaboration. So there we are going to manufacture battery as well. So in this way, we have a very solid business plan when we conduct investment. For railways, for domestic market, it's been very strong. For Asia, the business is expanding. And also in Europe, hybridization is going to increase. So for those items, we do have strong technology like PCB, SiC, and another one, so three items. So we'd like to use these three. And for CIB, PMS uses a permanent battery. It's a motor engine. So in comparison with traditional engines, the recovery is efficiency is 97%. And also, we have another technology which has very low power generation, the heat generation, because of the number of the switches very low. And also, power unit can be minimized in size. And also, for inverter equipment, 38% compact size is size declining is possible. And now this allows us to add more components into car and for railways. And also, for China, we are talking about the new steam engine trains, and also for Japan, we are working on Shinkansen. In Europe, German national railways, the hybrid car supply to Europe has been signed off already. So so they will be the electric trains using our batteries. And so we're getting a lot of inquiries, and so they are also for long-term, mid-term contract. And we're going to use manufacturing site in Europe. Once we finish the supply to Germany, the maintenance facilities will be used there so that we can supply and participate in the rest of Europe as well. For HVAC, for that, globally outside of Japan, CAGR 5% growth is expected. And also for Europe, central air conditioning to individual air conditioning is there's a shift. And also for China, our main market, building multi air conditioning sets, we are growing faster than the market. And also for the future, for 18 to 20, CAGR of 10% is expected. And actually, we have a plan which goes farther than that. So again, we are investing in the development to speed up the launch to the market. And also Fujita factory, we're going to build new technology lab. And also in Kyushu in China, we're going to add another plant there for manufacturing. And also we're going to build manufacturing plant in India. And they will be in service in 19. For elevators in Japan, there are many buildings that were built in during the bubble time era, and they're going to replace their elevators. So there's going to be demand for this. For new supply, Southeast Asia, India, China, they are going to grow in terms of the demand for the new elevators. So globally, we have a very strong demand for elevators. Our CVS technology, BIM, Building Information Modeling, is very important. So let me talk about this. At Toshiba Elevator in 2021, 3 CAD information has been distributed to our customers. And based on that, our customers look at the details for the designing. And now, Autodesk in the United States are going to provide the cloud-based technology for BIM. And we have signed a joint development of that technology. More specifically, digital twin will be run on cloud so that 3D data can be held on the cloud, and also attributes also will be held there. And using that, simulation analysis can be done. And based on that, quotation pickup and detailed drawings and also weight information and other information can be available on the digital platform. And also you can accumulate all those data on the cloud so that the confirmation with the specification with the customers can be done more quickly. That's the best advantage that we have there. For physical world, when we accumulate those data on the cloud, we can bring it back to the physical world. And we can use that in the elevator design and manufacturing processes. And based on that, bomb can be created for new types of bomb can be created. And also the development of the drawing also use that technology. And also that can go to the construction site. The confirmation of the schedule, the auto ordering of the accessory units will be done. And also once the elevator is in service, the data can be updated coming from the sensors and also the maintenance, and also the predictive maintenance can be done. So in this sense, cyber technology, physical technology can be combined. For CBS company, we can really grow the infrastructure business.
Regarding storage and device, I would like to explain. Now, there are three business units regarding storage. We have explained in full late earlier. We're going to a large size nearline. In terms of the sales increase, we're not accounting for a large increase, about 400 million or so in size. We have a very good situation with a discrete semiconductor. We have a backlog. We cannot produce enough. So the growth in this area is quite firm. The problem area is actually system LSI. FY19 aims to achieve profit. And we will have CapEx injected, so we would be, stimulating the market. And as everything goes as planned, I think we will see a positive outcome. So I think if you could look through FY23, but we have an interim time frame of FY21. Thank you. Any other questions? The second line. I am Furukawa of Bloomberg. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question regarding LNG. You're going to you just made an announcement. You talked about different possibilities. Why did you decide on ENN? And the timing of this announcement was somewhat unusual. Did you want to intend to make a full announcement at the time of this press conference? Or why was it in the middle of a Q&A that you made that timely disclosure? Well, we have in-depth talked about how we're going to handle this business, including the external directors on our board. You know, the question is whether this is our core business or not, and the clear answer is no, this is not our core business. And risk going forward, nobody can really fully assess the risks of the two decades going forward. So we think that at this point in time, we would like to start from ground zero for the company's growth. We don't want to hold within ourselves something that could potentially backfire at our strategy. So we thought that, you know, detaching this away from us would be a wise decision. Of course, many investors, any potential buyers have been in dialogue with us through the process, as you know. As a result, ENN was decided as a purchaser, as a counterparty, should I say. In terms of, you know, the procedure, ENN is a listed company, so, of course, there is a due process that they have to go through. Their announcement timing just happened to be now. As a result, that's all about the timing. There's nothing particular I shall mention about the timing. Thank you for the question. Regarding this LNG business, we have talked on many occasions about the risks that we might have over the two decades. We wanted to clear everything, you know, all and every risk for the future at this point in time. And a lot of people have actually given us proposals, and we assessed that ENN's proposal was the best. That's the reason why we've chosen them as our counterparty. Thank you.
Yes. A gentleman on the first front rows. My name is Yasuya. I'm from UBS. On page 16 in materials, that's 18 to 21, operating profit going over 240 billion yen. Roughly speaking, if you exclude the buffer, there will be an increase of a 200 billion yen increase. Now, in that, your own effort, like cost reduction, how much can be done by your own work, like cost reduction, and the rest could be subject to, you know, external world and also M&A. So if you divide this amount between the ones that is under your control, that's how much would that be? That's my first question. Thank you for your question. The procurement reform and also structural reform, very roughly speaking, these are the two things that we can really control, I believe. But for the growing earning, of course, we need to do some investment and we have to make a return. So we do receive orders. We do have received orders for some of the business already. In case of auto industries, actually, the lead time is very long. They talk to us quite early sometimes, and they give us really ahead of the time orders. So, so these numbers are really have a good justification substance behind it in many aspects. Now, the rest 30 billion yen is a buffer. Exactly as Mr. Kurubandani said, the impact on the greater earnings, it seems to be quite big, but the financials department and also management planning sections, we look at the proposal provided by different business unit, and also we very thoroughly, and also of course the idea is to execute the activities, but still we reflected some risk buffer, and then we came up with this number, 240 billion. Thank you. My second question, for new businesses, power, semiconductor, and medical equipment, what is the growth potential? Currently, I don't think these businesses are very big. So what is the expected sales growth and profit growth coming from them? For the electronics, I mean the semiconductor, including auto industry, everybody is more or less after the same customers. So once again, if you could share with us your outlook, your sense of achieving these goals. For CIB alone, how much profit or sales will be made, we're not disclosing that particularly today, but this time we are estimating the growth coming from this in a relatively moderate way. When we are talking with the businesses, customers, probably we can be even more aggressive, because. But it's just that we are not being able to respond to all the demand. And at the same time, and therefore we have a sense that we probably be able to maintain relatively high profitability. So we may can estimate the impact to be greater than what we are thinking. But still, in the plan, we are relatively moderate, not very aggressive. Also, in addition to that, this battery, this doesn't go into EV market. Is that right? Like HEV and bus are the ones, and Tesla, Panasonic, and activity in Europe. Do you think you also participate in that space? Thank you. For commercial vehicle, passenger car vehicle batteries, for that, the energy density with our current SCIB is not enough. So in order to supply to the market, we need to have a lot of units. And if we can double the energy density by two, we are working with CBMM company in Brazil. This has the biggest production of the battery materials, and so we are trying to develop the anode material using the titanium sulfide. We have passed the time allocation, so can we have just one last question?
The first row person, please. Thank you. I am Ezawa of Citigroup Securities. Now, regarding your business, your positioning is not so much of a risk-taking position. In other words, you cannot take much risk. You talked about backlog. Looking at 5 years down the road, how do you position Toshiba against other companies in terms of, you know, because you cannot take the risks, you may have to forego on some of the opportunities. And if that is the case, that would become your handicap as a business entity. I wonder if you have taken that factor into account. Or, to the contrary, are you just going to seek profitability and, you know, larger size of activities? So if you could comment on that point, please. Well, as for myself, I said we would rather not go with a high-risk business. I didn't say we cannot take risks whatsoever. So in terms of business opportunities, I think cyber-physical is the area where we can generate a lot of profit. So as for ourselves, we have a very stable B2B model. And then in that profile, we will like to first pick and choose the businesses which will, you know, firmly deliver a profit to us. In other words, there's no reason for us to take risks blindly. Of course, you know, some businesses will require a large capital, and for us to inject a lot of capital and go for that additional business area with much risk involved, it does not sound rational to me. I have another question. This is with regard to IoT and digitalization. Your reform, so to speak, you talk about short-term cost cut, but in some of the pillar core items, I think will take time to achieve. But at the same time, your margin is going to jump up rather quickly in the near-term vision. I wonder, you know, what could be the explanation there? IoT, when is it going to generate profit for real? Well, this time around, this plan, we did not take account of a lot of profit generated by IoT. In other words, the one the plan that we have unveiled in front of you is something that we have tallied up. You know, it's a bottoms-up approach, and it's important that we transform ourselves to a stable, firmly profit-oriented company, and that is the basis of this presentation. Additionally, cyber physical is an area where we think we have a good cutting edge. This is a high margin business model, and I personally think that there's a large potential for us there. We would like to start a project in that business area as quickly as possible, but that is not taken into account with this current plan that we have explained to you. We have just explained the cyber physical area as a direction that we might in the future might materialize upon. Thank you. Thank you very much. And this concludes our presentation regarding Toshiba Next Plan. Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you very much for your patience. Since it is time, we would like to move on to a Q&A session for 2018 second quarter earnings report for analysts and institutional investors. We would like to introduce the members, Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Executive Vice President Masayoshi Hirata, and Accounting Department General Manager Hideya Takashima, PR and IR Division Head of IR Kohei Hayashi. We would now like to invite questions from the floor. If you have any questions, please raise your hand.
When you ask a question, please state your organization name and your name. Thank you. The first row. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I am Moriyama of J.P. Morgan Securities. I have two questions, if I may. First of all, regarding slide 23-24, pages. You give us an annual overview. You talk about 25.3 billion for reorganization restructuring efforts. And if you could give us a breakdown of it as per the business unit. And also, fundamentals analysis is a second question. If you could tell us what were good areas, what were bad areas. Thank you. First, this is the second quarter consolidated business results, right? This 25.3 billion is page 24. And as per the segment, you can refer to the slide. And if I could talk about the roundup figures, energy is about 10 billion. Infrastructure, about 6 billion. And then industrial ICT solution is about 6 billion. And then others is about 3 billion. So those are the kind of roundup breakdown Sorry, if you could restate your second question. So taking into account such restructuring efforts, if you could tell us, you know, your annual projection on the fundamentals analysis, if you could tell us which are good ones and which are bad ones. You mean, sorry, let me rephrase the second question, if I may, to restate. Your first half is explained on page 14 of the same packet. So in the first half, profit was 7 billion. If you could give us a further detail about that, and as part of the business segment, if you could give us analysis as to which business segment basically generated good profit as per the investment made. I'm trying to think of the best way to answer that in the first half. Do you want year-on-year analysis? Maybe versus plan, if you would. I see, versus plan. Well, overall assessment first, if I may, is that infrastructure and retail, those are the good ones, infrastructure and retail. And energy was better than expected. So versus plan, it was somewhat better. Industrial ICT, also better versus plan. Storage, on the other hand, as I have explained earlier, we suffered a little bit in hard disk and NFT lagging factor. Those are the reasons why we came short of a plan. Okay, so storage. This is basically a timeline factor then. It was a lagging factor, right? And then annually, for the full year, 8 billion profit is made in storage, that's right. So the second half will be the recovery period. The first half would be lower, but second half will be higher. Well, NFT, there's a bit of lagging. And as you said, it's 8 billion worth. So discrete is plus factor. System NSI side, no change. I'm not sure exactly how to phrase it, but it's not... it wasn't expected to be a rosy, future, so that had been taken into account. I see.
Now moving on to the individual in the very front seat. Thank you very much for the briefing. I'm from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Miyamoto. First question, this is surrounding storage device profitability. And especially in semiconductors, there's 5.6 billion for profitability in the first half, and then 16.4 billion for the annual number. And if you break this down with discrete and others, what would it look like? That's one. Give me a moment, please. First, for the first half. When we look at the total, I think it was 10.6 for the first half. I think it's 5.6 billion for semiconductors only. Can you give me a breakdown of that? Discrete was about a little less than 10 billion, and NFT was about 3 billion. Plus, and the variance is system LSI. And What is the number on an annual basis? Same number. Total is about 16 billion with discrete. About 16 billion. And NFT is about 12 billion. So the variance is system LSI. And the second point is energy orders. On page 16, it's minus 19%. I think this is relevant to the next plan as well. In the next plan, next year it's going to go down, and going into fiscal year 21, it's going to be shifting to a very strong increased sales. That's the story. So the order is decreasing right now, and what is the probability of increased sales achievement? How do you interpret this, Hirata-san? Fiscal year 2019 is going to be the bottoming out of sales. And that's because we don't have any large-scale orders. I think that's a significant factor. And then for recovery to happen after that, it will be in the service area or maybe in the conversion area. Especially for services area, orders do not come in early. Therefore, it's probably going to be from mid-fiscal year 2019 that we'll start seeing how the orders will look like. If so, we can't really project from the past, and it will be all contingent upon future efforts. And the energy next plan is based off of future efforts. Yes. And third area will be LNG. You're going to be selling that business to a Chinese company. In CFIUS, there could be CFIUS risk, and it could be that maybe this, I think, deal may not be concluded. If so, then would you need to revisit this from scratch? Somebody asked this question before. We need to make a payment. Toshiba needs to make a payment. We asked quite a few companies to bid. And condition-wise, this company by far gave us a very good condition. And yes, we narrowed down to a couple of companies in the final stage, but then we determined that this company was probably good. And we have discussed about CFIUS internally as well. There's a U.S.-China trade war that is on the table at the moment, and there were some concerns. So there were trade issues that was the trigger. When you export from the U.S. to China, I think from a U.S. point of view, I thought maybe it could be a positive story. And China is lacking LNG. Therefore, according to some information that I've heard, all of the duties, it will be less duty that will be imposed. And therefore, we thought maybe our interests were in line. They and our interests were in line. And then the company that will be buying this, they have actually addressed CFIUS in the past as well. And this is something that the U.S. authorities will be determining. Therefore, we can't say anything decisive. But we think the probability of this deal concluding is quite high, and that's why we decided to transfer the business to this company, this Chinese company. Thank you.
Any other questions? The person sitting in the low behind that person. I am Matsuhashi of Goldman Sachs. I have three questions, if I may. The first question is regarding System LSI, your profit and loss situation. Looking at next fiscal year, what are the concrete vision for improvement? And for this fiscal year, of course, you're going to go through impairment right away. Does it have any fundamental reason or a technical reason which might actually alter the story? So if there's any risks of that, please mention. Thank you. Regarding system LSI, I feel sorry to have to say this with regard to those who are on the forefront of this activity, but this area of business definitely needs an improvement. So looking at the first half, the products which are low revenue generating, we're starting to discontinue them. So shifting to discrete is one way of improvement. In system LSI, we have highly talented engineers, so they can be repositioned to work for other business units. And we would like to at least be par with the level. So discontinued part somehow can be canceled out. That would be nice. And in terms of the second half, of course, we are in conversation with customers. We would like to be efficient. And a lot of the plan is now basically more finalized. So we're going to turn to a black number, profitable number in the second half. Okay. And the next fiscal year, you don't have to think about impairment. Impairment will be taken into account as we see it necessary. But you will go to the basic trend of improvement, yes. The second question is regarding ROE. You talked about the next plan and the ROE. If you could tell us, you know, the way of calculation, that would be quite appreciated. So, you know, as I understand this, 3 years later, your capital cost will be somewhat exceeding your capital cost. That seems to be your plan and vision. You know, of course, OP profit improvement is quite clear, but in terms of the final profit size, it doesn't seem to be ample. Please tell us how you calculate this. Well, the way of calculation, the way we generate is our statement is quite clear. It's net divided by PL. And this calculation is quite straightforward. And in terms of, you know, against the target, you know, what is our sentiment? We are taking the position of returning back to our investors vis-a-vis we talked about dividend payment that we will restart. And we would like to basically, you know, make sure that our capital basis is quite healthy. And in terms of the 140 billion that we have talked about, we certainly would like to achieve it at the 6% level of a margin. As I said, we wanted to land somewhere above 5%, and this was a build up from the bottom kind of analysis, and we thought that next year we will go beyond our capital threshold. So in terms of equity shared, that's taken into account. You cannot talk about the specific number, can you? Your understanding is correct. In terms of the free cash flow expectation, I looked through the document that you have given to us. Free cash, you will be generating, you know, down the road, and it'll take some time to see that. Please tell us why. And then in terms of CapEx, where you want to spend your investment money, how did you allocate? What was the rationale? Well, in terms of the free cash flow, and it takes time for us to become positive. Kurumatani had explained earlier, we want to be front-loading our investment activities. Thus, you know, the CapEx spending will be upfront. That's why. And also FY19, we want to have good liquidity. We want to have a smooth payment. In terms of liquidity strategy, we would like to, of course, need to take a cautious stand as we make our decisions. And the third question, CapEx, your breakdown of CapEx, headquarters and others, how did you allocate? Well, it's over a five-year time frame, so we want to have a good, strong pillar of IoT, 110 billion in total, as you see on page 21, is the reason. That's basically the big pillar of investment. Well, I have not heard of any company other than a financial institution that invests this much amount of money for IoT. Well, I personally don't think this is too large a number, as Kurumatani explained earlier. Looking at the existing system, 80% of the existing system will actually be scrapped, and then we will make a one-package system altogether with this new CapEx. So we think that this size of CapEx is quite rational. Of course, we will, you know, look at detailed plans going forward. So we might have minor adjustments, but we think that for the size of the company we are, this is quite appropriate. Any others?
Okay, the individual in the very front, please. I'm from Hirakawa from Merrill Lynch. There are two questions. One is surrounding energy. This may be redundant. When we look at energy orders, in the first half, if there are new orders that you have taken on and backlog that is being reduced, we understand the net number, but do you have a breakdown? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Which portion are you referring to? Energy orders. I know that there's the new orders as well as the backlog, and we understand the variance, but if there's a breakdown of the new orders and the ones that have shrunk in terms of backlog, can you give us details? And end of March 2019 for energy order, what level do you think it's looking like? And you said that gross profit margin has been improving. That how much gross margin improvement are you seeing, and would that pace be maintained towards the second half? So us taking on the orders, I don't have any calculations, but when there is a sales, then it would be a negative. And I think we do have track record from last year, so allow me to address this in a different way. Of the orders, there are original orders and there are backlogs that have shrunk, and that's not included in sales. Is that correct? So the ones that have been included in sales, yes, basically that's exactly as you said. And there are two things related to energy. End of March 2019, and for this year end, what do you expect as a level of orders? And then how did you try? Can you quantify and explain about gross margin improvement? End of this fiscal year, when it comes to backlog of energy, I think it's basically going to be flat. As mentioned before, especially in area, we are going to be very, very cautious and be selective when it comes to taking on orders, so this is not going to increase. And when it comes to gross margin improvement, c Conclusion-wise, we've already seen a 1% improvement year-on-year. The reason being that many of the orders that we have taken on have very high profit, gross profit. But the ones that are backlog remaining, basically the gross margin is counted as zero. It's a follow-up question. So gross margin being zero. So these are unprofitable projects from the past. So what proportion is that amongst all of the projects that you currently have? I unfortunately don't have that number with me right now, so allow me to follow up. Second question. This is something that we asked before, so I want to clarify. So when it comes to memories, 45.2 billion, which is equity method profitability, and I think what has been recognized is after tax. Is that correct? Yes, correct. Any other questions?
The person who's sitting on the second row, please. I am Shimada of Mitsui Sumitomo Asset. Regarding the memory, you talked about second quarter was 13.3 billion. First quarter, was it 1 month worth? Is it right for equity method number? So it didn't quite reach 36 billion. You said you cannot answer questions regarding the memory, but I thought this is a rather good number given the market condition. Looking at it from an objective point of view, it's a rather good number. I agree with you. And regarding the next plan, because you are here to answer questions, Mr. Hirata, I thought that your plan is quite steady. And I like the type of the plan that you have set forth, but as you roll this out, you know, is it basically that you've grounded yourself and then, you know, went step by step towards the future? Is that more like the style of your planning? You know, some companies actually give, more aggressive, more dreamlike vision, but it seems like your plan was more down to the ground. So if you could tell us a little bit about the backdrop through which you came up with this plan. If we were to look at the past, of course, many people, many being, you know, people from rating agency and whatnot, in the last 10 years, we have not been able to achieve what we say we will do, and therefore our internal control had been questioned by different corners of professional people. Mr. Tsunakawa was the head of the company for 3 years, and some of those numbers was somewhat regrettable. Kurumatani has spent half a year reviewing the status of our company internally. And of course, you know, there are many tasks involved with the improvement plan. Some are somewhat intransparent, but we need to invest and then try to capture larger net sales. And, you know, that's the kind of a thinking we had behind this plan. And as you can see in this plan, you know, there's a risk buffer in each fiscal year of, 10 billion size or, double-digit billion size. So, of course, those who are on the forefront of those business activities, they have, love and passion for what they do, and they have their own vision of what they think they can achieve. But with Kurumatani and the senior management, We have basically looked at every potential risk factor and made sure that we cautiously come up with a plan that we think is quite reachable. So this is how it should have been in the past as well. Well, that's kind of a management style question you are addressing. You know, some people actually go with a high stretch and then this is what we are can possibly achieve. But given the state of our company now, we think that, you know, build up process to the vision was more appropriate to us. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Yamazaki from Nomura Securities. There are two things. First is the breakdown of semiconductors that you touched upon, and I want to touch specifically on discrete. In first half and second half we'll see a bit of a decline. And on the other hand, if the stock price is about 105 yen, exchange is at 105 yen to the dollar, then I think this could change. And in your presentation, I thought you said that it was very tight. How are you observing the market at the moment for the discrete market? Exactly to your point, the prerequisite of the Forex is a bit more stringent, so that's why the numbers may look smaller. Coming into November, I think it's about 113 yen to the dollar today. And from a Forex point of view, yes, there's a little bit of maybe a rise potential. And starting with Fukuchi, as well as all the business unit people's comments are saying that for the time being, the market is looking pretty solid and pretty healthy. Second question. This is something I should have asked in the next plan session. When it comes to your global development, I think in the past, your portion of overseas business was bigger. And when you change the business portfolio, overseas business is reduced, and now it's at about 40% levels, and it's shrunk to about 40% levels. When we look at the next plan, how much is reflected as global development plan? When we look at the overall plan, what is your thinking? And 7,000 individuals were going to be reduced organically. I think that's predominantly probably domestic. So what about overseas talent? I don't have detailed numbers at the moment, or maybe I'll touch upon that later. But as you have pointed out, Westinghouse or Landis Gear or PC or visual products, they were basically overseas business operations, and that's gone. And now I think maybe the overseas portion of the business has been reduced to about 45% levels. But as Akiba explained before, when it comes to China as well as Southeast Asia or India, we're working with Suzuki. Rather than wanting to expand our overseas operations, we want to look for areas of opportunity, and that's where we want to invest our resources. And maybe as a result, we will see sales increase overseas. I think it's probably going to be about over 50% levels in the next 5 years or so. Oh, excuse me. Currently, it's a little over 40%. And by 2023, it's going to be about 45% levels. So it's not going to be a significant jump. And for personnel, do you have any comments? The global talent, that is global personnel. In fiscal year 2023, I think it's going to be about 120,000. So I think 60% plus is correction.
So domestic will be about 60-somewhat percent, and overseas will be the remainder. Thank you.
The person sitting next to him. Thank you. I am Yasuyo of UBS Securities. I have a question regarding the next plan, page 22. This has to do with the CapEx. If you could tell us how I can look at this table. Hirata-san, Mr. Hirata, you explained this page 31 CapEx. This is your presentation. 17-18 was 96.5 billion, and in FY18 is 10 billion. And then FY17 is 170-180, something of that range. So it seems like FY17 has a large portion for energy. If you could tell us how I can interrupt, how I can understand this correctly. FY17 energy, that's kind of a special factor involved. I will take that as an inquiry. If I could follow that up later, that would be appreciated. But this has to do with the put option for the Westinghouse. I think that could be the reason. Oh, so it's not like you made a large investment. This is more like, you know, correcting what we have done in the past kind of thing. So whatever the cash outflow is, 170-180 billion size, is that for the foreseeable near future? Correct number? Yeah, the cash payout for CapEx. Just a second, let me verify. Okay. Roughly speaking, FY18-19 is about 170 billion, and then FY21 is close to 200 billion in terms of the cash payout. And that peaks up basically, and then FY23 is a decrease from that peak level. I see. So FY20, as additional question, you seem to have a lot of investment for the headquarters. Yeah, that has to do with the IT investment. The payment is expected to come in lump sum at around that time frame. Thank you. Any others?
Okay, the individual right there. Excuse me. I'm again Matsuhashi from Goldman Sachs. This is my second round. Three things that I would like to clarify. First, as a message from the next plan, I think the number of businesses in the next 3 to 5 years is pretty much going to remain unchanged. If so, a conglomerate discount probably will not be improved. But you're going to tolerate that situation? And that's the management's thinking. Is that the correct understanding? A conglomerate discount. Well, the businesses that we are trying to embark on will not require a large-scale investment. Each and every one of those businesses will not require large-scale investment. Overall, we think all of the businesses should be growing organically. So the company does not think there's much of a discount. Second question. This is Service Solution Energy System. I think on page 29, In fiscal year 2019, it dropped, and after that, it's going to recover. I think that's the assumption. When it comes to power companies in Japan, they're trying to protract the lifespan of their facilities. And with that in mind as well, what is the prerequisite for these changes that are described here? When it comes to thermal area specifically, for fiscal year 2019, or maybe going into fiscal year 2020, all of the new projects will be constructed. The construction for new orders will start to happen. And we need to, I think, make lean the thermal area personnel. So we are going to be focusing our resource into the orders that we have taken in this area. And when it comes to service area, both domestic as well as overseas, so we are trying to allocate personnel into this area in order to boost our sales. And when it comes to electric transformers and renewable energies will be the base for grid business, and that's something that we want to expand, and that's already included in the plan here. And therefore, from fiscal year 2019 and on, we'll be embarking on this, but from fiscal year 2021, sales should start to be booked. So electric transformer service is going to be included? No, service is going to be predominantly in thermal. And electric transformer will be renewable energies. That will be the base. That's domestic as well as overseas, and we assume that they will grow. So our advanced electric transformer technology will be applied, and if it is applied, then our sales should be growing. And the third question is the following. When it comes to procurement reform, as a number from fiscal year 2018 to 2019, it's going to be 25 billion, and then from fiscal year 21, it's going to be 65 billion. So direct material costs should be hiking. And this could be a – many companies are saying that this is a reason for, I think, reduction in sales. But with design changes, I think, are you going to go for volume discount, or are there going to be less components? And going into next fiscal year and going all the way up to fiscal year 2021, what is it looking like? Are you going to ask vendors and suppliers to go for a stretch, or what's going to happen? And to directly answer your question, for fiscal year 2019, we will probably have a series of discussion with the suppliers, especially from the latter half of fiscal year 2018, we will start doing so. And we have consultants that are supporting us right now. And when it comes to our procurement material as well as components, we are exhaustively revisiting the situation. And consultants are researching, and they have data available about at what price our peers are purchasing these items. And, of course, the volume of purchases is very different from us with our peers, so maybe there's a difference in discount levels. However, based on such analysis, we are studying whether there will be possibility for negotiation, and that's where we will be having dialogues with our suppliers. In the midterm, there are VA activities, which is going to be the base for cost reduction activities. And from the first half, we have been starting to embark on such initiatives. But this will take some time until we can see some results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So in light of the time, I would like to make this the final question. The front row, please. Thank you. I'm Moriyama of JP Morgan. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. Regarding power device, you consider this to be a midterm
you know, growth area, and I think you have the most visibility. That's my personal opinion. Please let me check some of the numbers. Your semiconductor is 36.55 billion for this fiscal year. This power device, how much accounts for as a part of that? And regarding page 34 of the midterm plan, you talk about net sales, 870 billion to 1.1 trillion. That is 18 billion on the upside or increase side. So HDD is flat. System LSI is your kind of a homework area. A lot of the increase comes from power device. That's kind of my understanding. So of the 118 billion, how much specifically is from that area? And you talk about capacity increase. This production increase specifically is going to contribute. That's my next question. Immediately and also in 5-year time frame, if you would. Thank you. I understand your questions. We do not segregate power contribution specifically, but against FY 17 as a discrete or as a total number, about 15% increase through FY 21 is our plan. And regarding system LSI, as you said, it's flat. And HDD, it's about increase of about 10% sales volume. So discrete is 220 to 230 billion is driven by discrete. Is that right? Commenting specific. Number revised, 120 billion to 130 billion by discrete. Is that the right understanding? There's only so much we can disclose as a straightforward number. What about the capacity? FY 21. For us to achieve this level of net sales, we have not injected enough CapEx vis-a-vis production capacity build-up. So we will be injecting capacity build-up CapEx as time goes. Thank you very much. This concludes our Q&A session. Well, again, I would like to extend our appreciation for your kind attendance today. We will be closing this session. Those who would like to remain here and do some work, if you could leave the venue by 6:30 at the latest. Thank you again for your participation.